Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Bill Ryder on CBS Sports Radio.
What's going on? Bill Ryder with you, filling in for Jim. As always, the program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage, by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. It's a rush. It's a thrill to be here hanging out, doing the show, chilling with the guys, filling in for a guy in Jim Rome who literally changed my life, my wife Lori, my kids Henry and Madeline, hanging out somewhere in SoCal in large part because of Jim. They're watching the show on CBS Sports Network, and you can also, of course, listen here on CBS Sports Radio. Give us a call, 1-800-636-8686. Email Rome at haveatake.com. About 35 minutes from now, Howard Beck from Bleacher Report, very talented national NBA writer, will join me on the program. And in that 2:20 Eastern, 11:20 Pacific spot, my buddy, my former, when I first broke into radio, I used to co-host with him a good deal, Rob Dibble, former NLCS MVP, bad boy of baseball, great dude, going to jump on the show. We'll talk the first week. We're going to pretend, with all respect to the Mariners and Adam Hawk, his team, those first two games don't count to me. Opening day was a week ago, even though those wins count. Congratulations, Seattle. But a week into the actual MLB season, we'll visit with Dibs about what he has seen so far. We'll circle back to some NCAA talk in an hour. I want to give this one-and-done notion. Does it work? Does it not work? But I want to start with something that I think is happening beneath the surface of the NBA that folks are not paying attention to, and for good reason. We are not about to experience an NBA playoff push of excitement. I guess a little excitement in the Eastern Conference. We're witnessing a coronation. It's exactly what we thought it was going to be the day after the Warriors completed their parade last year in Oakland. They were set up to do it again 364 days later. That's the deal, and we've seen it. And sometimes it's easy, and I've been fooled too, to be like, oh, their defensive rating down to 17. It's not going to work. Only two teams in this century have won an NBA championship and not been in the top 10 in defensive and offensive efficiency. Yeah, one of the exceptions, that Lakers team with Shaq and Kobe. Do you know what they did? Part two of the three-peat? Did not care. You know, in the regular season. You know what the Warriors are feeling? Do not care. We're basically first in the West without trying. And poor Denver the other night, a few nights ago, roll in. Game kind of means something. It's the goodbye tour at Oracle Arena. They're building a brand new, beautiful billion-dollar-plus arena in downtown San Francisco. That's a special connection between that fan base and that spot. Oh, and the officials gifted, oh, that was funny, the Timberwolves a win last weekend. So you had Steph Curry and Golden State just destroying Charlotte and then rolling home and crushing Denver. And the takeaway is this. They're going to win the whole thing. It does to those of you NBA detractors, and I'm not one of them. I love the game. I think it has a bright future. But it does lend some credence to none of this matters. These guys are too good. And they are. And just to underscore the point, throw an exclamation point, throw it in our face, Kevin Durant got himself ejected 3 minutes and 9 seconds, whatever it was, into that third quarter. And by the way, Kevin Durant, I won't dive into this too deeply now, but that guy became the wrong guy really, really quickly. It's like Dwight Howard with talent. It's like Chris Paul with a ring. I know that you're good at what you do, but you don't have to be bad to people around you. I'm pretty hard on Chris Paul. I've told the story a bunch. He deserves it. In my experience, he's not a great guy. But at least to the best of our knowledge, he says it to your face. I can speak to that. It's not these burner Twitter accounts that KD's out there feeling all the feels, up in his feelings all the time. That said, it doesn't matter. They're going to win the whole thing. But there's something percolating beneath the surface that I think is promising. And Kevin Durant's, whatever it is, whatever's going on, and I can't pretend that if I became an NBA superstar, or I had, I don't know, Jim Rome's life, or I were the president of the United States, or whatever massive level of success in your chosen profession, I'd like to think I'd still do the things that try to have define me. I try to be a good husband. I try to be a good father. Try to work hard at my job, but I don't know, 45% chance I'd be sleeping in a gutter in Las Vegas right now and all the money is gone, maybe. So I shouldn't judge Durant too harshly. I shouldn't. That said, I think we're seeing some insight into a team that's breaking up in front of us. This is the Beatles recording Let It Be. Sorry, Beatles fans. I love the album. I think it's their best. I think it's filled with all kinds of angst. And it was the end, and they knew it was the end. And that is great for the rest of the NBA because you look around the association and the disintegration of the Warriors speaks to not just a change, but I think a reshaping of how the game is going to work and where the balance of power is. And I'll point to another example. Howard Beck, who's on the show, as I mentioned, you know, 30 minutes from now, did his survey at Bleacher Report. We talked to people around the association, and he asked the question, where would you rather be? Where would a free agent rather go? The Lakers and the Knicks, or the Nets and the Clippers? Now, think about asking that question a few years ago, when the Nets were hoping to win 15 games, and the Clippers went from being lob city but not playoff city in the postseason to basically a team that had Chris Paul say, see ya. Blake Griffin got traded shortly after they gave him a, we're going to make you a forever Clipper pitch to keep him there. And DeAndre Jordan was the saddest guy on the playground after being talked into coming back in a hostage situation down in Dallas a few years ago. And now the Clippers are the better organization than the Lakers, but it's the reality. I like Jeannie Buss a lot. I know Jeannie Buss enough as a in a sourcing relationship to say, I think she's going to become a really impressive owner. And owners get to do their thing, get to evolve over a much longer timeline than players or even coaches, because you don't have, you know, you can get old, you can age and still be the owner, and you own the place. You're not going anywhere. But the Magic Johnson debacle, I said this on the show that I host here on CBS Sports Radio, which is 6 to 10 Writer Than You. We like puns in the writer family, apparently. Sports writer on Twitter, sports R-E-I-T-E-R. Said a year ago, I heard that Magic wanted Luke Walton gone last year. If you remember, Jeannie Buss last February, a year and change ago, sent out a weird, cryptic tweet, I support Luke Walton. If my wife, Lori, tweets out today, I'm definitely not divorcing Bill Ryder, something's wrong in the Ryder household. I got some serious problems. Dysfunction is what defines the Lakers. I'm not even going to get into the Knicks other than to say James Dolan is the worst owner, if not on the face of the earth, certainly in this beautiful country. And yet that is the cathedral of the NBA. You walk into the Garden and it's magic. And the rare times that there are basketball games that matter, it really is, not to be too over the top, it's a transcendent deal. It also doesn't happen very often. I think Linsanity is the last time it really happened for the Knicks. Coach K broke the all-time wins record at the Garden just by sheer chance. The Clippers are supposed to be a mess. They used to be owned by, I'm not even going to say the guy's name. I'm not even gonna give him that honor, that privilege on the Jim Rome Show. Bill Ryder filling in, by the way. And the Lakers are the purple and gold, along with Celtics green. Those are the brands that are supposed to make this thing go. The Lakers redefine not just the NBA, but the nature of sports and entertainment and that coming together long before that was a thing. The NBA is changing. The NBA is going to another place. You are going to see, and it is a confluence of events that shouldn't have happened. The CBA last negotiated was supposed to create not NFL parity, which is what you need, the nature of making fans interested and making casual fans interested. If it feels like it's a done deal, which it does in baseball, but you can at least close your eyes, squint, pretend there are eight teams, plus whichever team you root for, right, whoever your team is. In the NBA, it's one-on-one only. That's going away. That's going to change. And what struck me as a reminder of that, not just the Lakers' dysfunction, not just LeBron James on the same day he tells Howard Beck, I can still recruit major free agents that Woj, Adrian Wojnarowski, reports really dysfunctional in that Lakers front office. The fact that Shaquille O'Neal, who is a really good dude, I've seen this in my own eyes, and I hate this term, but to people beneath him, right, with the production assistant, with the kids, with the high school kids, great, great guy. But he likes to go after colleagues. He likes to go after people that are in his space, on his level. It's painful watching players only for a variety of reasons in that post-game situation. I actually like I'm a Jim Jackson fan. I actually like some of the things they've done in game. But two or three nights ago, Shaq was just beaten. Baron Davis looked like a deer. He looked like me the first time I was on the Jim Rome television show. Just eyes wide, sweating, doesn't know what to say. Only there was no Jim Rome to guide him to water. It was just Shaq beating him over the top of the head. And I think that part of Shaq's personality, the fact that there's kindness, but there's meanness, and he's going to call it like he sees it, right or wrong. I think that's why on the big podcast, you should take seriously not just what Shaq's saying, but what it means for a soon-to-be shifting NBA.
Giannis versus Shaquille.
The Greek Diesel.
Yeah, I have my thoughts. He's better.
He's better?
Yeah, he's better. He's better because he has more opportunity to showcase more. See, I was a post player, and I only had to, the only thing I was allowed to showcase was my domination. But he's running the floor. I did that early. I stopped doing that because I stopped getting the ball when I ran the floor. So I turn into a half court dominant.
Plus all the Annie Ann's, the Papa John's, the Krispy Kremes,
and busting Dikembe Mutombo's ass in the finals.
Oh yeah,
all that stuff.
Sorry, yeah,
but he's better, and that's why I gave up my Superman title to him. But and you know what? He works hard. He's a humble kid. He works hard. He doesn't just come and show up and expect people to say, oh, hey, I do this, I do that, I'm the next. No, this kid actually works, and he's earned it. He's deserved it, and he's earned my respect, and he deserves it, so I'm giving it to him.
Look, just because you're great at what you do doesn't mean that you're a straight shooter. Chris Paul's the phoniest athlete I've ever been around. Shaquille O'Neal, hey, Chris, it's me. Remember those interactions? I got a radio show, now I'm filling on Jim Rome. Hope you're good. Shaquille O'Neal's the opposite. And by the way, I was wrong. Shaq was belittling Dwight Howard on the air with Dwight sitting next to him once and saying he didn't get the Superman title long before I caught wind of and the rest of us caught wind of the fact that Dwight Howard subtracts from the sum of all human joy. And he does. And he's the worst. And my point is, I thought it was Shaq just not wanting to give credit to other people. Shaq knows the game. Giannis is going to be the face of the league in a few years. The Clippers, because Jerry West is the greatest front office executive, period, full stop, in the history of American sports, is going to help guide, as an advisor, that Clippers organization the way he did the Warriors. The Milwaukee Bucks are going to be legit. The Nets are suddenly a possible destination for Kyrie Irving. We'll get into why they shouldn't even do that at some other time. But the point is, the NBA is shifting. Jimmy Butler's probably going to leave Philly. I think that's a better fit. Tobias Harris can get it done. Embiid and Simmons can grow into two of the best players in the game. The Sacramento Kings on the West Coast, don't mock me on this. I'm telling you, 2 or 3 years, there's the potential they can be really good. If, it's a big if, it's the Suns. If the Suns draft the right guy and they get the opportunity to do that, they're up and coming. If, it's another if, Kristaps Porzingis is healthy, you might have two of the best 10, 15 players in the NBA for a very long time. The Warriors have obscured everything. Greatness outside of Golden State, the rise of these young superstars, the idea of competition. But the thing that made their last couple championships easy, Kevin Durant, is tearing them apart from the inside, and that is a good thing for the game. Because there is a change, there is a shift coming. Shaq's talking about it as it relates to Giannis. The people talking to Howard Beck in that anonymous survey are talking about it as it relates to, oh my gosh, you're not going to believe this, Clippers and Nets, better destination than Knicks and Lakers. Luka Doncic down in Dallas, quietly putting together what's going to be a really, really bright future. What's going on in Philly? Boston is going to have an addition by subtraction in a big way when Kyrie Irving follows his own massive ego. The earth is flat, but Kyrie's ego is round and is very, very large. Out the door to somewhere else. So NBA fans, it's coming, I promise. Non-NBA fans, don't give up on the association just yet. Yeah, it's a coronation. I get it. Next year, I think it's next year, it's going to be a Game of Thrones the way it's supposed to be. There's a lot of folks who can take out a lot of others. It's going to be exciting. Love to hear from you. Bill Ryder, filling on the Jim Rome Show. 1-800-636-8686. Rome@havatake.com. Of course, Jim on Twitter, at Jim Rome. JimRome.com. I'm on Twitter, too. Sports Ryder. Sports to my last name, R-E-I-T-E-R. We'll take your phone calls, and we'll hit this idea. I'm a believer in this. The NBA is changing in a way we haven't seen in a generation or two, and it's for the better. Coming up next here in a moment on the Jim Rome Show.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back into the Jim Rome Show, CBS Sports Network, CBS Sports Radio. I'm obviously not Jim. I'm Bill Ryder. I'm filling in. Thrilled to be here on Twitter, Sports Ryder, Sports, R-E-I-T-E-R. Reach out 1-800-636-8686. Rome@haveatake.com. Jim on Twitter, of course, at Jim Rome. Website, jimrome.com. Again, the number 1-800-636-8686. I will say this about the Warriors, and what I think is, I don't know if demise is the right term, but Durant's leaving. He's taken his situation elsewhere. And by the way, it was Bill Parcells who said, people tell you who they are. Listen. That applies to character and leadership. It also just applies to plans. LeBron James bought a, $10, $20 million mansion in Brentwood in SoCal shortly before he became a Laker. And actually, I played. I got to get back into it. It's a little expensive for me. It's supposed to be a $100 friendly no-limit game. I showed up and Gentile and the Unabomber was there one time. Like, what is going on here? Just they put down $5,000. Where's the cap? It's gone. But my buddy's got a house up there not far from LeBron's place. And when I saw it, I was in town for work. And I was like, oh, he's going to L.A. That's not a retreat. That's a compound to raise your family in. And it signaled something. Kevin Durant moved an operation of his that is important to him and his brand and his non-NBA plans to New York City, as I'm sure you know, a few months ago, because you know why? He's telling you who he is. Listen, he's a future New Yorker. That's where he's going. And the thing about Durant and his excellence, and I'm not sleeping on that, he's a remarkable player. I don't want to give into too much hyperbole. He might, I think he can be in the conversation for the greatest scorer in the history of the game. He's an all-timer. That doesn't mean that he's been a pleasant and positive net experience for those guys in that locker room and effect on that Warriors culture. And maybe it makes me sound like a Warriors homer. That's fine. I love the old Warriors, and I had no dog in that hunt. I'm from Iowa. I grew up a Chicago sports fan. The Cubs are the only thing I still kind of claim because I've spent too much time covering the NFL and the NBA to see those teams as anything other than the people I've interacted with. And Jay Cutler is the worst sports figure in the history of American sports history, and I just can't get there anymore. So I'm not a Warriors fan or not a Warriors fan. But I think in a lot of ways, again, not to be too cheesy, to me they personify my favorite part about sports, which is they can reflect us back at ourselves. Sometimes it's the bad stuff. A lot of times it's the good stuff. Now we see the Warriors through the lens that they created for themselves. One of the great teams. Are they the greatest team of all time? Yes, they are. No, it's the Bulls. But just having that conversation speaks to how seriously we take their excellence. We're talking about Ja Morant versus Zion Williamson. Who's going to be the number one pick? Kevin Durant was the number two pick because of Greg Oden, but was a sure thing. People thought Oden was too. We'll see what Cap becomes. LeBron was the number one overall pick. There are guys you know if you land, you're there. Steph Curry was, what, the seventh pick back in 2009, whatever it was? They passed on six other guys to get it. Klay Thompson, for reasons that are silly and now legal in several states, fell all the way to 11. And Draymond Green got passed up by every team in the NBA and a couple others twice to go in that, I think it was that 35 spot in the second round. And my point is this. They kind of personify the American dream. We all think we're good at what we do. We hope we are. We all try to work hard. Very few of us at 22 or 21 are blessed from on high and said, you're going to be a CEO someday. You're going to be the greatest radio host on the face of the earth. You're going to be president of the United States. A lot of us have to grind and get lucky and have people take care of us and be good to us. We don't have to. Jim Rome's, I got like a list of five or six guys. Jim Rome's at the top of that list just for me, so it's cool being here doing the show. Steph didn't have that. Not really. Not relative to the guys that he's competing against. Klay didn't have it. Draymond didn't have it. Steve Kerr was a failed GM. I remember being on the road for a finals or a conference finals, and I was at dinner with a bunch of sports writers, and not sports writers that I particularly like, if I'm being honest with you. So you never hear them on this show or the show I host 6 to 10 Eastern Time. Some newspaper guys. And we walked into a restaurant, and there was Steve Kerr when he was still broadcasting, sitting by himself, eating dinner alone. Full disclosure. And if you're watching on CBS Sports Network, you can see this. I'm not pretending I'm the coolest guy on earth. So I don't mind eating dinner by myself or going to a movie alone. I think there's no shame in that, especially when you're on the road a lot. But these guys I was with, NBA everyday guys, were mocking him and talking about what a loser. Oh, is he going to hit a shot for Jordan now? There was this perception, petty though it is, that happens in competitive businesses, that Steve Kerr was a joke, at least in the realm of coaching and trying to shape an NBA franchise. So you got three players who were passed over to varying degrees. Jimmer Fredette was drafted the pick before Klay Thompson. Just let that sink in. And a coach who was a joke, eating dinner by himself, being mocked by newspaper NBA writers, and now they've created this thing. And that, to me, is you pull yourself up by your bootstraps, you have some people take care of you, you get lucky, and you create some greatness. I love everything about it. And it made me a fan of what they were doing, what they were building. And to me, Kevin Durant, he didn't destroy it. He just made it easy. Same problem Coach K fell into, and we'll get into that in 30 minutes or so here on the Jim Rome Show, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Easy is good, but easy is going to be successful only at best, not guaranteed in the short term. I would love to see Durant leave and that Warriors core stay together. And that may not happen. Draymond Green's a proud dude, and he always felt like in a world in the NBA that looked past him, that didn't take him seriously, that let him fall to the second round, that the only place where they got him even with his faults, was the Warriors. And that's probably over based on the fact that they sided with Kevin Durant. Milwaukee's coming, for sure. Philly's coming, I think. Dallas is coming. The Celtics are on the rise. And I'm not a big believer in Durant plus Kyrie is going to equal NBA championships. I think it'll equal really good ratings and probably Clippers from the Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan years on the East. Good team, top four, utterly disappointing in the postseason. But there's a real NBA level of parity that's going to arrive, and I can't wait for it. And there's some guys in this draft that are going to be special. Zion Williamson was a sexy pick. And like we always do, now we're focusing on Ja Morant. And I love Morant's game. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend. I've reached out to a lot of people about Zion. Can't pretend I've done the same level of reporting and research, really the reporting, on Ja Morant. I'll just say this. That captive of the moment thing, that need to follow the crowd, that groupthink, it is in every business and every endeavor. And I promise you, it's systemic in places like NBA front offices and NFL front offices. It is. So here's my answer if someone asks me the question, who do you draft? And my answer is, you have to have a scouting department you trust, because there were people in scouting departments that passed on him who had told their bosses, I'm telling you, it's Luka Doncic. I promise you it's Doncic. Don't take these other dudes. And Bagley's going to be a nice player, I think, for Sacramento. I do. DeAndre Ayton, you hope. I think he's going to be fine. You got to have a better culture and a better situation there. It's not a good fit so far, but he's obviously a very talented dude. But Luka Doncic, people who actually scouted internationally, people who actually made that their expertise, said it from the rooftops, and they weren't listened to. Because even though the international influx of players into the NBA is legit and real and absolute, it's not just Dirk anymore, it's a host of guys, it makes GMs squeamish where they are. Just makes them a little nervous drafting that guy that looks like he isn't an NBA player and he's from abroad. I don't think it's going to work. So the answer on Morant versus Zion is, who are the guys in your front offices who have gotten these things right the last few years? And what are they telling you? What is your scouting telling you? I think it's Zion. Like, sort of my eyeballing it. But I've also spent more time reaching out to people in college in the NBA. What do you think of Zion? And it's a pretty universal, this dude is absolutely legit. Phone number, 1-800-636-8686. Rome at haveatake.com on the email. I'm on Twitter, Sports Writer Sports, R-E-I-T-E-R. All right, I want to hit a bunch of topics with Howard Beck. He talked to LeBron James. LeBron told him why it's all going to be fine. Howard, I can bring people in. And a survey that speaks to, paradoxically, the demise of the Lakers and also the Knicks. Howard Beck from Bleacher Report going to join me, Bill Ryder, here on the Jim Rome Show in just a moment after we get a CBS Sports Radio update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Bill Ryder on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back into the show. Bill Ryder with you, filling in for Jim. Thank you for being here. This is a rush and a thrill, and I'm lucky enough to get to come back tomorrow and do it again, hang out with the guys. Also, very cool, joined now by my buddy, marvelously talented national NBA writer for Bleacher Report, and my former neighbor, as of last week, the one and only, Howard Beck. What's up, Mr. Beck?
What's going on, Bill? The neighborhood is still in mourning. We're feeling your loss. It's just not the same in Park Slope.
All right, I'm going to be obnoxious, Howard, but it's the only time I won't even blow up your phone with ocean photos. What is the weather like in New York right now?
Oh, so you got it. You would have to do this to me. It's actually like sunny and semi-pleasant, I think, in like the mid-50s right now. So like by New York standards, it's shorts weather.
It is New York shorts weather. Howard Beck on the show. Howard, we've been talking a lot of the program here on the Jim Rome Show about your survey of NBA executives who see the Nets and the Clippers as better destinations than the Lakers and Clippers. Nets and Clippers better than the Lakers and the Knicks. Surprised by that response?
You know, it's funny. I'm not surprised at all. I was not surprised to get that kind of consensus as I talk to people, because, you know, these are the kind of conversations you have informally all the time anyway. And my own impression would be somewhere along those same lines. It was just interesting to hear so many people whose jobs it is to assess this stuff every day as GMs and assistant GMs and scouts to hear that that was, you know, it kind of confirmed my own suspicions. And the reason I did that exercise, of course, is that all four of those teams, both L.A. teams, both New York teams, all have max cap room this summer. In the case of a couple of those teams, they can get to double max. And it's the first time since the max salary was even created in 99, the first time that all four of those teams in the two glamour markets are going head-to-head for free agents in a with a pretty great free agent class. So this is unprecedented, and it's shaping up to be kind of a, you know, a clash of the titans potentially. And yeah, the Clippers and Nets, by most people's assessment around the league, are the stronger teams if you want to win immediately as a star free agent.
And Howard, I think the Knicks, obviously, I know, not a surprise to you. You cover them for a long time. You've talked to me about it on the show that I host here at night, 6 to 10 Eastern, about James Dolan and the dysfunction there. If not surprised by the Lakers, are you at least optimistic that Jeannie Buss and co. can turn that around in the next, let's call it, year or two?
I'll just say this, Bill. I'm not going to predict like where star free agents might go, right? Like, there's suspicions and there's gossip and there's all that stuff we can speculate. But the reason I it's hard to answer about whether Jeannie and Magic and Rob Pelinka can get this thing going in the right direction and get LeBron the kind of supporting cast he needs is because it's not completely in their hands. I think the Lakers have done a decent job of making themselves a good destination again after several bad years. This year might have gone differently if not for LeBron's injury. That's certainly the way LeBron feels about it. And everything else, you know, in terms of, you know, I do believe they need a second star, a top star, because LeBron is going to be 35 in December. And besides that, even in his prime, stars need stars. That's how this league works. But it's not completely up to the Lakers. Do I think that they'd be a good destination? Yeah. I mean, in three of the 10 GMs that I surveyed said they'd put the Lakers at the top because of LeBron. Several people downgraded the Lakers because of LeBron, or just said, you know, they don't think guys will want to play in his shadow. But it's up to these free agents. You know, you can't, you know, all the franchise can do, all Jeannie Buss and Magic can do is make it an attractive spot and hope for the best. And the same thing with trades. You know, you could do your best to try to pry Anthony Davis loose. If the Pelicans don't want to trade him to you, you're just kind of stuck. So, you know, look, I'm sure they'll give it their best shot and in free agency and in the trade market this summer. But as LeBron told me also in that story that ran yesterday, it's a critical summer for him. And it really is. The clock's ticking. And, you know, they burned one season. He's under contract for three more years with the Lakers. They cannot afford to have another year where they don't even make the playoffs.
Howard Beck here on the program. In your conversation with LeBron, he told you he's confident other players want to play with him. Can you give us some sense of, I'm always interested in interacting with that guy. He's a fascinating dude. What that conversation was about and whether or not you think he's right, Howard Beck.
So, I mean, look, as these things go, it was a what has now been labeled as sidling, according to Brian Curtis of The Ringer, who wrote about this. I sidled with LeBron out after the game against the Knicks a couple weeks back here in New York, walked with him on his way toward the team bus, and just said, let me throw a couple things at you here about where things are going this summer. And look, he was very upbeat, despite the fact that he'd just gotten his shot blocked at the buzzer by Mario Hezonja and lost that game. And he was, you know, he was very optimistic. And look, this is LeBron James we're talking about. And like anybody at that level, their confidence in themselves, their ability to win, their ability to attract other winners to them is supreme. That's what he feels. And I did not sense anything in LeBron James that was tentative or overly concerned. You know, concerned with the current state of things, sure. But he sounded, as you would expect, ultimately confident. And I think, listen, I didn't ask him, do you think players want to play with you? I didn't allude to those, you know, rumblings or even the story by my colleague Rick Bucher from last December about that concept. I just asked open-ended about, you know, what do you plan to do this summer in terms of participating in the recruitment? How confident are you that you'll get somebody? And he kind of veered himself to the, I'm confident guys want to play with me, which I think was absolutely him intentionally kind of rebutting or responding to those rumblings or people's speculation that guys don't want to play with him.
Talking to Howard Beck here on the Jim Rome Show, Bill Rutter filling in for Jim Howard, senior NBA writer for Bleacher Report. Howard, I know how much you love hot takeism and predictions. So can I, since we're doing Jim Rome, can I do a little what if, and you bear with me here? I have just only three what ifs for you.
I thought we only did the hot take thing on your show, Writer Than You.
It transfers. It absolutely transfers.
All right, fire away.
All right. What if KD and Kyrie together decide to go and play for that New York Knicks organization that you have covered and that still has, unfortunately for Knicks fans, James Dolan as its owner? What is the success, the failure, the actual end game for a team built around those two guys, with the Knicks being that team?
It will be fascinating if it happens. It is a scenario that a lot of people around the league believe will happen. I happen to think that it's going to disappoint Knicks fans. Look, they'll be relevant again. They'll be a playoff team again. Will they be a contender? I'm not sure. And the reason is not because of KD and Kyrie, although I would put a little bit of a caveat on that. We haven't seen them play together before. We don't know what that chemistry will be like. And they're both a little bit volatile and, you know, we've seen thin-skinned. The problem is the Knicks roster is horrendous right now. And they've got some young guys that are looking a little iffy, and if they don't actually blossom, there's just not a lot of help there. Mitchell Robinson looks great as the shot-blocking center, but Kevin Knox, really bad rookie season overall, statistically speaking, you know, just at the bottom. And then Dennis Smith Jr., a lot of doubts around the league about him. So where is the help? Where's the rest of that? Where's the supporting cast? And if you sign two max players with your two max slots, by definition, you've just capped out. So everything else is going to have to be cap exceptions and guys coming for the minimum. They would have to renounce the rights to a guy like DeAndre Jordan just to clear the room, so they can't keep him. So I don't know where the rest of that roster is. It's never enough in this league. We've seen this. It's never enough just to have two All-Stars. You have to have a capable supporting cast and a veteran one at that, because youth doesn't generally win either. So, you know, I think they get back in the thick of things, they'll be relevant, but I think they might be looking at, you know, a fifth seed in the East if the rest of the top of the East stays stable.
See, Howard, you deep down, you love the what-ifs and the bold predictions. Howard Beck from Bleacher Report here on the Jim Rome Show. I'm Bill Rutter filling in. All right, bold prediction number one. Of the four teams that you put out there in your survey to NBA executives, the Clippers, the Nets, the Lakers, the Knicks, which of those teams is next an NBA champion?
Oh, wow. No, you really went there, didn't you?
I did. I'm coming with the hot stuff now. Absolutely.
It's all right. I'm going to go by a process of elimination.
Okay.
It's not the Lakers, because LeBron's window is short enough that whoever they get, you still got to deal with the Warriors in the present, and by the time the Warriors really start to become vulnerable, I think LeBron will be aging out, so I think it'd be really tough unless the Lakers get like two stars immediately. So I'm gonna take the Lakers off the board. I'm gonna take the Knicks off the board. I think the top of the East is looking really good right now, and for the reasons I just laid out, I don't want to contradict myself. I think that completing the roster, completing a contending type roster around KD and Kyrie, if that's who they got, is going to be so difficult that I don't think they can pull it off. So I'll pull them off the board. And now I'm down to the two stepchildren of their markets, the Clippers and Nets. I'm leaning Clippers. I'm leaning Clippers.
I like it.
I think it's a toss-up between those two. And, you know, listen, none of these four teams may win a championship in the next 5, 10, 20 years for all we know. It's hard to win a championship in the NBA, and they tend to be hoarded by a couple of franchises in any given time span. But, you know, if we reframed it simply as who will be a contender the soonest, it should be the Lakers with LeBron, if they can get him that help immediately, because they just need one guy and they could leap right up, you know, into contention, at least for the short term.
I love it. Howard Beck. All right, Howard, last one. You may have already answered it, but I'm going to ask anyway. I'm interested. How many more NBA championships, either as the primary guy or at the end of his career, he's the sixth guy and he's just there, he's Gary Payton, that thing, do you think LeBron wins before he actually retires?
Yeah, I mean, listen, once the Cavaliers deteriorated and LeBron decided, you know what, final stage of my career is going to be about living in L.A. and the business interests and his family liking it there and everything, you know, the perception around the league, fair or not, is that he shifted his priority toward other things other than winning titles, that maybe he saw that window had closed. I don't know that it's entirely closed. You know, one great offseason here, they could be right back in at the Lakers, and LeBron could be right back in contention. I suspect we won't see him raising a trophy again in the NBA. I suspect that that's the case, but I would never rule it out because the guy still put up all-star or MVP caliber numbers this year. He's still an all-star. He's still one of the top players in the NBA. At any given moment, he might still be the number one player in the NBA. And after an offseason of getting himself fully healthy again, I mean, I ain't ruling him out.
Howard Beck, you're one of the folks that vote for the NBA awards, an honor that I've had in the past. Rockets are 18-4 since the All-Star game. I think most folks think now that they're healthy, they have the best shot of beating the Warriors. Are you in the group? It is Giannis's name at the top of the ballot, or are you still trying to figure out how you're going to vote?
We're going to have something that runs tomorrow on Bleacher Report where I will have my choice of the moment, but I reserve the right to still reverse myself before I file my real ballot in a week. Right now, I'm still leaning very heavily toward Giannis, and that's a couple different factors. One, the Bucks have been great from start to finish. They're probably going to get to 60 wins, best record in the NBA. And I've always said, as you know, MVP is both individual excellence and team success. You got to have both components. Harden's individual excellence is off the charts. His stats are off the charts. Their win total, the Rockets, lower because they started the season in such a massive hole that they were 14th in the West and looked like they were going to completely miss the playoffs. There was a serious concern at one point early in the season. And while Harden's numbers were fine during that stretch, he's part of that too. He's the franchise star, so you can't just ignore it. On top of all that, we know that Giannis is a terror defensively as well and can guard five positions. And the Bucks have been the number one, or by a couple points, number two defense this entire time. So if you are the linchpin of the top defense in the NBA and you're the primary offensive engine of that team and your team's going to have the most wins in the league, I think that's a pretty strong case for MVP. But like I say, I could be convinced otherwise potentially in the next week as I go deeper into the numbers.
So, Howard, there's three names. Who's number three on your ballot? It sounds like Harden's two, if it were today, because it's not like the Thunder are playing at a level that makes Paul George the candidate he used to be.
No, six weeks ago, Paul George was a really popular number three, and maybe some people would have even argued, argue him in the mix with the other two. I mean, I think it's always been a two-man race this season. I don't think Paul George was ever that seriously in the running for the top two spots. Right now, I'm not sure if he's even number three. You can make a case for Paul George. You could make a case for Nikola Jokic of the Nuggets. You can make a case, though they've struggled a little bit too recently, Joel Embiid is somebody that at least merits consideration. Durant and Curry are hard to separate from each other, but we can't just ignore the fact that the Warriors are still the odds-on favorite to win the championship and that those two guys statistically have both had phenomenal seasons in their own right. It's just always hard to decide which of them, or do you somehow jam on both of them? It's only a five-man ballot, so you have to make hard choices. There was popular support at one point for Dame Lillard to be somewhere down ballot because of everything he's done for the Blazers. I think he will get some votes in that 4-5 range.
There's so many guys.
So it's a good field.
All right, I'm gonna be reading you in Bleacher Report to get the complete list. Howard Beck, my friend, I miss New York. Tell the neighborhood hi. I'll be reading you over at Bleacher Report, and very cool of you, buddy, to make some time here on the Jim Rome Show.
Always, Bill. Say hello to the South Bay for me.
You got it, buddy. Howard Beck used to live in SoCal, in South Bay, part of SoCal where I live. Now he's a New Yorker. Loves it. Great dude. Worth a follow on Twitter if you don't follow him already, at Howard Beck. Bill Ryder filling in for Jim Rome. Man, this show is flying by. I'm having a great time. Thrilled to be here on Twitter if you want to hit me up. Sports Ryder, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R. Some reporting out there that suggests Coach K might move on from one and dones, or at least not focus on them as much. We'll get into that in a moment here on the program. Jim Rome, Bill Ryder filling in when we come back to CBS Sports Network and CBS Sports Radio.